says here that Graybar is a distributor.
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
Hey, hey! What do you say? I wonder if there's anybody yelling at the radio right now. Are you yelling back at me? It's okay if you do. Or it's okay if you ignore me. I'm used to that too. My mother thinks that 2.5 weeks into marriage, my husband is already tuning me out. Mom, why would you say that? Ouch. I guess that's what happens when you've been married a really long time. You just think it works that way from the beginning. Let's at least give the man 2.5 months, not 2.5 weeks. I don't think he's tuning me out. I think he has selective hearing. Most men do. And yes, that's a ranging stereotype. Hey. Hey, you. Now you can yell back at me whenever you want. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jay, what are you doing? I mean, you're trying to do a serious show and you're in there like picking things up and blowing on stuff. What is happening?
Just cleaning the debris and dust in the area.
Dust?
Yeah.
So you're cleaning the debris by blowing it onto the soundboard. You picked up the keyboard, you blew on it, but you're holding the keyboard over the soundboard. So where does that dust and debris end up, just out of curiosity?
I was trying to blow it more on towards like the floor area so it would be swept away later.
No.
But it kind of just shot back up all at me. Didn't work out too well.
At least it didn't go up your nose with a rubber hose. Remember those like crazy phrases? Oh, no, you were a kid like 10 minutes ago. There were crazy phrases when I was a kid. Up your nose with a rubber hose, bounces off me, sticks to you. Wait,
I know that one.
It's like glue, bounces off
I'm
me
rubber,
and sticks
you're glue.
To you.
Yeah. Right, that's it.
Oh, let's see if I can remember some more over the course of this show. Man, we are fired up for tonight, you guys. It's time. It's finally time. The wedding show. Now, we're not going to spend the entire 4 hours on the wedding. Don't worry. Oh, my goodness. It's so funny. The people, the handful of people who respond to me on social and tell me they just don't care about the wedding. That's fine. I'm not going to take it personally. I don't care about yours either. But I will say this. There are a lot of people who do. You may not, but trust me when I say you're in the minority. Social media is only a glimpse, a reflection of a larger, much larger audience. So the vast majority of listeners, while they may follow along on social, do not participate on social. So always take social media with a grain of salt. So yeah, when I get one or two people who tell me, I don't care about your wedding, or I'm glad you're happy, but this is a sports show. Here's the thing. You can get your sports about a bazillion ways. You know that, right? There are 8,922 podcasts, well, probably more than that, that are dedicated to sports of all kinds. You can get shows that are specific to every team, every sport, every season, every game. You can get betting podcasts. You can get analysis. You can get breakdowns on tape. You can get goofy rants. You can get every flavor of sports commentary known to man and woman at the touch of a fingertip. There are a bazillion ways that you can get podcasts as well as live radio / TV / YouTube / digital offerings. You don't need me for that. Now, I am thrilled that you choose to hang out with us on a show that is largely dedicated to sports. I am thrilled about that. And after 25 plus years in this business, I do have a lot to say about sports. My approach to sports sometimes is analytical. More often, though, it's an emotional, kind of human fan reaction. I take an irreverent approach to sports. It's not serious. It's not life or death. Certainly, sports is a microcosm of real life. So there are times when the real life scenarios play out in sports. Life or death plays out in sports. In fact, 1 year ago tonight, we were hanging in the balance in a very real situation where life and death was on the line. And we'll talk about that in a second. But for the most part, sports are entertainment. They're supposed to be fun. Now, granted, if your team's always losing, it's not fun. But regardless, they're a choice that you make for entertainment. I will never tell you my show is important. I will never tell you my show is impactful, though I am grateful for the connections that we've made with people all over the world. I'm grateful for those of you who are faithful listeners, whether it's been 2 weeks or whether it's been 2 years, whether it's been 20 years, because I'm that old. This is a point that more and more in my career has become so evident to me. People will not remember from week to week, unless it's something that really sticks with them. Half the stuff that I say about sports, people aren't hearing anyway. Because radio is primarily background noise, not always. I mean, some of you do use the radio as a companion to get you through your late night working, your driving, your studying, maybe you have insomnia. But what I know about radio is that a lot of it is background noise. I can break down a game brilliantly, and every now and then I do. And you might appreciate it or not at the time, but come a week or 2 weeks down the road, you're not going to remember that. Again, it's a lot of background noise. And you can get better analysis of a football game from Kurt Warner and a bazillion other guys who played if you're looking for actual analytical X's and O's. What makes me different, what makes this show unique, is me. My personality, my perspective. There's only one Amy Lawrence. And God has given me gifts and talents and abilities that allow me to connect with people. That's what the show is all about. You don't need me for sports. I'm thrilled that you choose to hang out with us for Sports Talk Radio, for laughs, for joy, sometimes the serious, my perspective as a woman who's spent 25 years swimming upstream, going against the grain, whatever you want to call me. A pioneer, old, it really. I've done it for almost 30 years, going back to when I was in school, and now knowing what I know about the business and my path, I wouldn't go back and do it again, but I wouldn't change it. That's what makes me unique as a host, not 4 hours of hard-hitting sports talk. And this was underscored during the pandemic. People are going to remember me for the connections. People are going to remember this show and seek out this show because we include you, because I care about you knowing that you're not alone, that I'm with you. I want you to have fun. I want you to laugh. I want to be a distraction. I want to be a friend, a companion as much as is possible through the radio. And during 2020, when I was doing the show from home for nearly 4 months and there were no sports, we saw that connection deepen. Why? Because, yeah, sports is the primary topic on this show, but it's not why you listen. The majority of you do not listen because I'm damn good at talking about sports. And while there are some of you who don't care about me personally, while there are some of you that don't care about the fact that I got married. And I'm okay with that. I don't need you to. It's no big deal. What I found is that far more of you care about me as a person than you do about what I have to say as a sports talk show host. And there's a lot of you that are certainly in the middle, which is why I put the post up there. Well, warned you on last night's show, but put the post out there today on both Twitter and Facebook. This is going to be the wedding show. Half of it, the middle 2 hours of the show, are dedicated to the wedding stories. The ones that you've been asking me about. The ones that you have been wondering about. The things that went wrong. The secrets that I had to keep secret until after the wedding because I couldn't let anybody else know. We got more traffic to our YouTube channel over our three Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle videos. We've had more questions about the wedding and the weekend than anything else I've ever done in 25 years on the air. So if you're one of those people who doesn't care, great. But guess what? A lot of people do, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you so much for sharing my joy and excitement. You can insult me from now until the cows come home, and people have. People have said some pretty nasty things about me and my radio show and what I choose to talk about. Again, that is okay. This business is subjective. You've got a bazillion other options, and I hope that you find one that makes you happy tonight. I hope that you find one that gives you exactly what you want and exactly what you need. All it requires is a little searching on Google or on Alexa or on Spotify or on Apple or on name another podcast, SiriusXM. All you got to do is search, and you'll find anything you're looking for. But for those of you who tune in nightly because you enjoy listening to me and you enjoy the show that Jay and I have built, awesome. Well, this is a special one for you. So whether it's a spoiler alert or fair warning, this is the show in which I'll tell you the wedding stories.
Oh, you're sexy. Here we go.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also, your nasty posts are lost. I mean, I see them, sure, but it doesn't matter to me. There isn't anything you can say to me after 25 years in this business as a female sports talk show host that I haven't already heard a bazillion times. It honestly no longer sticks with me, so you're wasting your breath. But feel free to try. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and our phone number, because producer Jay did indicate that he was going to take some calls on the air. Now, whether he puts you on the air or whether he just passes along your questions, that is entirely up to Jay. The reason I waited on this show, the wedding show and the wedding stories, is because I wanted both Jay and Marco to be here. Marco is back. He and his family have been dealing with some sickness, some illness, some over the course of the holidays, but we wanted to wait for him. We've invited him to hang out with us as much as he wants to next hour here in studio. He does have other responsibilities. It's not like we're his only thing going on. I mean, come on. How self-centered would that be? But he is going to hang out with us a little bit. And I always appreciate the running commentary from the said peanut gallery. We are going to talk about football this hour, too. A.J. Brown is trying to set the record straight. I'm not sure it actually does the job, but he's trying. And do you all remember where we were 1 year ago tonight? We were, as I referenced earlier, we were waiting for any news of DeMar Hamlin, who was still listed in critical condition at University of Cincinnati Medical Center. He had family and friends with him. His uncle was serving as a spokesperson for the family. His uncle's name, Dorian Glenn, who did a few interviews over the course of the roughly 48 hours that we waited for DeMar to wake up after he suffered cardiac arrest on the field in Cincinnati in a game on a Monday night between the Bills and the Bengals. That game obviously was postponed and then was later canceled. But what mattered is that the entire NFL community stopped to support him, his family, to pray, to hope, to believe that he would pull through. For 2 days, everything in the NFL just stopped. And it was far, far more impactful than just a sports story. It was far more impactful than an NFL player who had been relatively unknown outside of Buffalo before that night, who collapsed on the field and had to be revived not once but twice. It wasn't just a sports story. It was a story that gripped the nation. More people talked about prayer and believing and hoping than I'd ever heard in sports. And the generous outpouring of money and resources to his foundation was unlike anything I've seen before. Even during Hurricane Harvey, when we saw J.J. Watt raise all kinds of money for people in Houston, this was even beyond that. The generosity of the American people, both inside the sports world and out, blew me away. And obviously, DeMar has never forgotten it. He will never forget it. It could end up being one of the most critical and important sports stories of the decade, if not the century. And I know that sounds crazy because we're in 2024, but I've never seen anything like it in my time in this business. It was a vigil for DeMar, and it gripped the nation. And so we want to look back at what happened a year ago. It's crazy, right? Because it was actually 2023. And maybe it seems like forever ago. It was exactly 1 year ago that we waited and we prayed and we believed for his healing, his recovery. And now look at him. He's back in an NFL uniform. And while he hasn't played a ton this year, DeMar's role, DeMar's perspective, DeMar's calling now in life, he knows is so much greater than football. Not that football isn't important, but for DeMar, it's become secondary almost. I'm so impressed by him. He's made appearances all over the country. He is giving back the money that we poured into him. He's giving it back in ways that are changing lives and saving lives. He's kind, he's generous, he's open, he's honest, he's candid, he's heartfelt. That young man is changing the world. And it goes back to 1 year ago. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook show, the show is the same, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, also on our YouTube channel. Thanks for hanging out with us. And for those of you who are tuning out, when we start talking about the wedding, it's exactly 45 minutes from now. It's like a spoiler alert. Turn it off now. We should do like some kind of a tone, Jay.
Let me see what I can find.
Oh, be careful, though, because, you know, if we run amok of the FCC with any kind of like an emergency tone, we get astronomical fines. Oh, this is going to be a fun show. We've got actually a couple of announcements to make, too, which will be super cool. And so find us on social or just remain attached to your radio or your device, however you're listening. It's coming.
Wait a minute.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Burrow in the shotgun, three-step drop, looks to his right, wide open T. Higgins underneath, and running across the field, up and over midfield, before he's finally corralled by DeMar Hamlin. First down yardage and more as the Bengals are into Bills territory, and there's another injured player down on the field for Buffalo.
I think they're taking the team off the field.
Yeah, they are.
The game has been temporarily suspended to further notification.
Official NFL statement now on the Bills-Bengals game that's been released. Tonight's Buffalo Bills-Cincinnati Bengals game has been postponed after Bills' DeMar Hamlin collapsed, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell announced. Hamlin received immediate medical attention on the field by team and independent medical staff and local paramedics. He was then transported to a local hospital where he is in critical condition. Our thoughts are with DeMar and the Buffalo Bills. We will provide more information as it becomes available. The NFL has been in constant communication with the NFL Players Association, which is in agreement with postponing the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thinking back to exactly 1 year ago, that was Monday Night Football in week 17 of the NFL season. And 24 hours later, we were waiting for any news of Damar Hamlin, who remained in critical condition at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. And at the same time that we waited, we prayed and we believed and we talked about and we hoped for his healing and recovery. And we also opened up our wallets and our purses and we poured generously into his foundation. It was one of the ways that we were covering the story, was constantly looking at the numbers for his foundation, because it was a GoFundMe page. Remember, it started as a GoFundMe page, and it was about giving kiddos Christmas gifts around the holidays. Families who didn't have enough money to spend on Christmas gifts or couldn't afford to give their kiddos extravagant gifts, they would give, Damar Hamlin's foundation would give shopping sprees to those kids and families. And boy, the numbers blew us away. From teams and owners and families of players inside the NFL to people all over the country and the world. I never did look at the final number, but I know it was millions of dollars. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The coverage there on Bills Radio. If I'm not mistaken, we talked to Sal Capaccio right after this game. He was on the field. He's the sideline reporter for the Bills Radio Network. You heard his voice as part of that montage. So Damar and his family were in Cincinnati. The Bills then traveled back to Buffalo. And again, we're waiting. Practices were canceled. The games were not postponed for that upcoming weekend because it was the last weekend of the NFL regular season. But for days, the only thing that players and coaches did was show up to talk and maybe watch film. Nobody was practicing. It was all about some news, some positive news of Damar Hamlin. His uncle, Dorian Glenn, was speaking to the media periodically while Damar was in the hospital. And this we pulled from NFL Network.
Really, really thankful for the staff, the medical staff that's been working with him. They've been truly awesome and helping him with his recovery. It was a really, 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 truly scary scene to witness that yesterday. I mean, as everyone in the country probably can agree with, I would have felt the way I felt no matter who it was. But for it to be my nephew, man, it was especially more of a, you know, a gut punch to see that. But I'm thankful that he's still here, he's still alive, and he's still fighting. And like I said, we're just taking it day by day and continue to let the medical staff do what they do.
It was a year ago tonight on the show that we were using that audio from Dorian Glenn because, again, we wanted any type of indication. At that point, he was still in critical condition and he had not woken up. He had not come to. And it was quite the vigil for nearly 48 hours after he collapsed on the field. And the more details we found out, the scarier it got. He had to be resuscitated twice. So if you remember, and I do know vividly the images from Cincinnati, they initially resuscitated him, then put him on the stretcher and picked him up. They were about to put him in the ambulance and only to put him back down on the ground because they had to deliver the life-saving measures yet again. And we now know about the equipment and the process that the NFL has in place for every game site, for every stadium. But it was also amazing and awesome and not an accident that they were close to the University of Cincinnati, where some of the best doctors and nurses in the country were able to attend to him and give him life-saving care. I remember this specifically. Dorian Glenn was asked what Damar's reaction to all the support would be.
Man, my nephew's so humble. He's going to truly be floored. Like, he's going to be floored. He's going to be in disbelief. But, I mean, he shows so much love, and he shows so much care and compassion. So it should reciprocate, you know, back to him, because he's a genuine guy.
Dorian Glenn, Damar Hamlin's uncle, who served as the spokesperson for the family. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As I say, everyone inside and outside the NFL who had the opportunity would share tweets or clips or any type of Instagram video, photos. There were hearts. Remember, the big thing was DeMar, who would use his two hands to form the heart signal, and that really became the calling card and the sign for those people who were sharing their support of DeMar. And it really was, it was everyone. I mean, Zach Taylor, Bill Belichick, Jeff Capel, it was everyone. And just, again, to put us back where we were a year ago, some of the various names that you know from the NFL, it was unanimous what was on our minds.
Our thoughts and prayers are with DeMar Hamlin and his family and his loved ones and his teammates, the coaches, the entire Bills organization. We've always had a great deal of respect for them. I think that's grown much deeper, obviously, with what we've all seen transpire. And so certainly we're pulling for DeMar, hoping for the most positive outlook.
DeMar Hamlin's been, I think, on everyone's minds and their thoughts since Monday night. Our entire team and organization, you know, on behalf of them, you know, I've extended our thoughts and prayers to, you know, the Bills, the organization.
I got to know him. Unbelievable young man, great spirit. Every time I saw him, he was in a good mood. Unbelievable personality. So our thoughts and prayers are with him, his family, the Bills family. We know he's a fighter, and he'll continue to fight, and everyone stay prayed up.
One of the other things that we saw inside the NFL was the emotion, really emotion like we haven't seen before. You may remember that the two teams came together around DeMar of sorts, and even after DeMar had been taken off the field, the Bills and the Bengals, they were together huddling, supporting one another. I remember very vividly that Josh Allen and Joe Burrow were standing together and were kind of hugging each other and supporting each other, tears in the eyes of both of those guys, the somber looks on their faces. And to think back to it now and to recognize how it brought people together is pretty incredible. Aaron Rodgers, who at the time was playing for the Packers, went on CBS Sports Radio Network on the Jim Rome Show to just explain what Josh Allen was feeling and going through at the time as the quarterback of the Bills.
I've been friends with Josh Allen for a while now, and I really love the kid. I think he's a great kid, superstar, MVP candidate. And just put myself in his shoes as he's watching a teammate, you know, have to be resuscitated on the field. I can't even imagine. There's no words to even think about how that would be.
And that was really the case for everyone in that locker room, and not just for the Bills, who were DeMar's teammates, but also for the Bengals, who were there when it happened. And for every locker room, you remember the conversations we heard about how to support one another, the fact that this is a very real concern in a violent game where these guys put their lives and their health on the line every single day, every single game. Those conversations were much more real and authentic and even scary in light of what had happened to DeMar. Now, producer Jay, I didn't ask you for this. I'm going to give you a heads up now and see if you can find it for me. When the Bills return to the football field the following week, we will never forget how that game began. At that point, if I remember correctly, and Marco Belletti's here in studio, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure DeMar was already back in Buffalo at that point. So about 48 hours after the game, he had finally awakened. We heard the amazing news that he was recovering, and at that point, doctors were cautiously optimistic. Over the course of the next couple days, we continued to hear good news from his family, and then I believe he was back in Buffalo by the time the game kicked off. Now, I could be wrong, but I know for sure that he addressed his teammates via, remember, there
Skype,
was FaceTime
yeah.
or
yeah,
Skype?
FaceTime.
Yeah, something like that. And he was with his family still, so he wasn't at the stadium, but he was awake and he was supporting them, and it was a great inspiration. But I think he might have been back in Buffalo by that
remember.
Time.
I don't remember. I know he was soon after. Mm-hmm. I know he had the Zoom or whatever with his teammates. I remember that. But the timeline, whether it was in time for the next game or if it was 2 weeks after that, I honestly don't remember exactly. Mm.
We know this is how the game in Buffalo started the following week.
Temperatures around 35 degrees here this afternoon as Folk puts his foot into the ball. It's going to be short. Fielded at the 4 by Hines. Coming straight up the middle to the 20. Cuts it back at the 25. He's got an alley down the right sideline to the 40. 50. Down to the 40. 35. 30. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Naheem Hines. 96 yards. Run, run as fast as you can. You're not catching Hines. He's your end zone man. Buffalo on the board with the first play from scrimmage.
On the Bills Radio Network, I still have chills. I will never forget that moment. That game was nationally televised, or at least I think it was. I know I had it where I was in New Jersey. And that moment that happened so quickly, they're still talking about the temperature and game time conditions. And boom, Naheem Hines goes 96 yards. And he did it not once, but twice, because he did it in the second half as well. Incredibly, the swell of noise and emotion is the part that I'll never forget. Josh Allen with both hands on his helmet, shaking his head, like what just happened, that it was a miracle, that he couldn't believe it. I mean, that was magical. And it just, I don't know. I believe everything happens for a reason. You can't make that stuff up. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing moment. It really is. It's bringing it back for me, because I'll be honest, off the top of my head, I didn't remember some of this stuff. When you said what the highlight was, as soon as you said it was going to be, let's hear it, and I was like, oh yeah, the opening kickoff. I didn't think of it. I didn't realize it until now you say it. And I do remember the two. Yeah, it's kind of wild that was a year ago.
It was.
And it's kind of wild how everything kind of played out the week after.
Mm. Damar Hamlin. Also commemorating 1 year since his life was saved and he was given a second chance of sorts. He's now 25 years old, and the one-year anniversary of this cardiac arrest required a new tattoo for Damar, and it was actually on social media on Wednesday, and it features his signature sign, that sign he puts his hands together, making the shape of a heart. And in the middle, get this, in the middle of that tattoo is an electrocardiogram, which is a heart monitor. That's at the center. If you have, actually, Jay, if you want to find one that you can share on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And so he shared a photo with the tattoo artist, and there's a close-up of that tattoo, and Hamlin writes as the caption, 1 year later, still locked in. Pretty incredible. I love this young man. I've never met him. I hope someday I do. Maybe he'll be in Las Vegas at Super Bowl 58 on Radio Row. He would be by far the most popular one there. But he impresses me every time he opens his mouth. And the goals and the ways that he's determined to use the money to give back to support high school programs and youth football programs so that they have the medical equipment should this happen to a young man over the course of a game or a practice. I mean, he's doing all the right things. There's a lot of guys that would go through that experience that I don't think would have the same foresight and same vision that he does. And I just know he inspires. And I'm so grateful that we had a chance, and we have a chance to see what he'll do with the rest of his life now, just 25 years old.
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't want to see anybody in that situation to know how they would handle it, but you can't possibly handle it any better than Damar Hamlin did. There's no way around it. You can't possibly go through that and to have, I don't know, just the ability to put everything in perspective as quickly as he did, and to be able to express it as well as he did. No. I don't think anybody could possibly do a better job.
Agreed. So coming up, we just wanted to take that walk down memory lane. Coming up, we will revert back to 2023, week 18. But some of you asked me my favorite sports story of 2023. That was part of Ask Amy Anything on our last show. And by far, this is the story that I will never forget covering in my career. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, Jay put up a couple of new posts for those of you who are curious. Also on our Facebook page, thanks for hanging out with us.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second and goal on the two. The Cardinals break the huddle. Murray under center. Two tight ends to the right. Quick snap, handoff, Connor straight ahead. Gies to the goal line and across for the go-ahead touchdown. James Connor punches it in, and the Cards take the lead 34-31 with 32 seconds to go in the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This time last year, we were heading into the NFC playoffs, and the Philadelphia Eagles were the top seed. Best team in football, as it turned out, from the NFC side, excuse me. And they were hosting the NFC Championship just weeks later, in which, of course, they used that classic formula, run the ball, stop the run. Run the ball, stop the run. And it worked to perfection for those Eagles. Now, in the Super Bowl, they were bested by the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, the defense, yada, yada, yada. But still, high expectations coming into 2023. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's not been quite the fly, Eagles fly party that it was to start the season. Now at 11-5, they've dropped four of their last five games, and you know what losing can do. It exposes various relationship conflicts. It exposes friction and factions in the locker room. Sometimes, because people are irritated and frustrated and angry and maybe disappointed because they're feeling like, hey, this wouldn't be happening if I was playing more or getting the ball more. Frustrations boil over. Now, this is where leadership has to step in. But lots of rumors and speculation also swirl around teams that are backpedaling or backsliding. And that's what's happening now with the Eagles. How much of it is accurate? How much of it is real? Not fabricated? I guess it depends upon who you believe. But A.J. Brown, like many players in the NFL, but specifically wide receivers, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's very expressive. And because of some of his decisions, because of some of his expressions, nonverbal, well, people are starting to point to a conflict, a beef, if you will, between A.J. Brown and the head coach of the Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Though he, after not speaking to the media following the last two games, is sharing his perspective.
People say I'm beefing with Nick. I'm not mad at Nick. I'm not mad at nobody. Like we have a great relationship. Like I said, like I got a ton of respect for Nick. Cause like I said, he take off for us when it be us, you know. And I even said for example, I'm gonna get detail. For example, I know that's what y'all want anyway. I'm gonna get detail. Like for the Seattle game. That was on us. Like, we messed that up. We improvised, and we went on our own, and Nick came out and said, oh, I wanted to try to get a flag or something crazy like that. It's like, he really made himself look like a fool for us. I have nothing but respect for him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because not all coaches do that.
So he's giving you a specific example of why Nick Sirianni still has his respect, number one, but number two, why there's no issue there, why he appreciates his head coach. But why then hasn't he spoken to the media after the last two games?
You know, I didn't want to be negative, you know. You know, I had already transitioned to the mindset where we were going through a tough time. And so me personally, the person I am, who just know I just have to go back to work, you know. And ain't nothing I could do about it, you know. And Like I said after the game, I said I was raised. If I had nothing nice to say, I'm not going to say nothing at all. So I'm not just about to continue to compound the negative with the negative. So you guys can write more negative stuff. Like, you guys watch the game too. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you guys already know. So that's why I was like, there's nothing more that I can say. You know, just to, I'm not trying to make it worse than what it is.
A.J. Brown, Philadelphia Eagles locker room, actually said he apologized to his teammates because with him not speaking to the media the last couple weeks, they had to speak on his behalf. And he said, just, it's been frustrating. And I was raised that if I have nothing nice to say, keep my mouth shut. I suppose I heard that too when I was younger, but I don't know that that stuck. Jalen Hurts says, hey, it was on his heart, so he did what he felt was right, and we're going to support how he feels. Jalen's very much into sharing feelings and perspective and all that jazz. And for A.J. Brown, because of some of the outbursts in his past, because of some of the things that he's been caught on camera doing, saying, he recognizes that people have this kind of negative perspective of him.
Everything that I do, if I say something, I do anything, I'm classified as a monster, you know.
Aww.
Honestly, you know, and it's honestly the opposite, you know. You saw my frustration on the field. It wasn't about the play call. It wasn't about none of that. It was about my guy getting banged up. And I'm going to need Smitty moving forward.
Devontae Smith being Smitty, the number two guy for the Eagles. By the way, in case you're wondering, none of them is thrilled with how they're playing right now. So Eagles fans, you may be down on the team, but according to A.J. Brown, they got you beat on that because they desperately want to turn things around.
All you see is A.J. Brown frustrated with the Eagles. A.J. this, A.J. that, you know, but everybody in his locker room is frustrated. So why are you singling me out because I'm frustrated? Like, just because I'm shaking my head, I'm showing emotion. You can look at everybody in the stadium has bad body language. They're frustrated.
That's true. Now, I will say there's something to making sure your body language, or at least trying to keep your body language from reflecting how you're feeling internally. So it's about controlling your emotions so they don't control you. Body language is a big thing. And not just for these people who interpret it from afar. It's a big thing to your teammates. It's a big thing to your coaches. Your facial expression, how you carry yourself, whether you're slamming your helmet down, whether you're muttering, whether you're sticking with your teammates and rallying around them. How often Patrick Mahomes will go to his teammates and scream and yell, "We got this," when they're down by 15 or whatever else. If you're a leader, if you're a veteran player, a lot of your younger teammates will look to you to set a tone. And AJ is correct. They're the ones on the field, not the coaches, which means often the inspiration and the leadership has to come from the guys who are wearing the uniforms. All right, 1 hour down, straight ahead, the beginning of the wedding story. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
No, you don't have to buy custom window treatments in person, because Blinds.com invented a better way. Blinds.com is 100% online, so there's no showroom markups or waiting hours for quotes from pushy salespeople. A Blinds.com designer helped me pick the perfect style for free.
Looking at your room, I think Wovenwood would look amazing.
Oh, and Blinds.com shipped free samples right to my door. You can DIY or book a pro like I did with just one click.
All done.
I got exactly what I wanted. And best of all, everything's covered with the Blinds.com 100% satisfaction guarantee. I would have paid more to make it this easy, but with Blinds.com, I paid less. Way less.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in-wash scent beads.